Good evening and welcome to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. My name is Jack Mancini and here I am, 7 p.m. sharp, Wednesday evening. I'm here with my longstanding partner, Adam Sunhalter. We've been partners in our coaching business called Maximum Value Partners, and we deal with small companies defined as from 1 to 25 employees. We'll wander off that reservation occasionally, but that's our sweet spot. That's the companies we'd like to deal with in any industry. Makes no difference. As I said, Adam is my longstanding partner, and I say that for a couple of reasons. One, that he always stands when we're broadcasting. So he's longstanding, among other things.
Right.
But I'll get back to Adam. in a minute. He's a good partner, and we've been together over 15 years. Hard to imagine that. It's probably over 16 years.
It is.
Wow. Anyway, what we do, first of all, we'd like you to be part of the program, 440-946-9468. Write that down, 440-946-9468. You call in with your concerns and or comments. That makes the program all the better. So what we do, we take from our annals of business experience. What that means, we coach clients every day of the week, 5 days of the week principally, and we help them frame and solve many of their day-to-day problems. We've done well over hundreds of companies, and we've been successful for the most part, and I say for the most part, because we know what to do when we come up to a problem and frame it. It's not so much that we don't know what to do. It's the case of the owner, the business owner, him or herself, committing to do what has to be done. And if they do, they'll master what we call the 7 keys to success. And what that means is that you will achieve growing sustainable profits. So from the annals of our coaching work, what we do is take a program or take some situations that exist, usually within the last 2 weeks, and we talk about it at 7 p.m., starting at 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings. And we have a lot of fun doing it, and what we'd like is some of you folks to give us a call and be part of the program. So I mentioned the 7 keys. Usually, when we ask somebody, and they are pondering it themselves, how do I make my business better? That's what we're going to do and talk about tonight. And usually the quick answer when we ask a business owner that question, how do you make your business better? What they'll say is, what, Adam?
Well, hey, if I can get some more sales, Jack, that would really help a lot.
That's it. More sales will solve all their problems. That's how people will condense this. Rather than contract with an expert and deal with reality and get the experience kind of working for you. But yeah, all I need is more sales. That's how I'm going to make my business better.
How about some more capital, Jack? You know, if I just had X dollars coming in, you know, give me a couple $100,000, I could do wonders with that to make
that's
the business
all I
work.
Need, right? Big bag of money dropping on the table. Okay, now what do you do with it? They don't have an answer. They don't have an answer because they don't have a plan. And they don't have a plan because they don't know how to do it. And I'm sure I'm talking to people who hear that right now and basically will nod their head positively. Very few will say, I don't have a plan and I'm doing well. If they are, they've had a run of luck. They aren't doing it because they're good. They've been lucky.
Yeah, if you ask them a simple question, Jack, of how'd you do that? All right. Goes back to one of our first clients where they'd had growth every year. And, you know, they're 11, 12 years in the business, and every year they'd grown. We said, hey, what's your trick? I said, I don't know. Every year we put down a forecast. We go into a spreadsheet, and we say we're going to grow by 10% this year. And magically, it happens. And we grow by 10% or more until the 1 year didn't happen.
That's right.
So they couldn't explain why it happened the prior 11 or 12 years, nor could they explain why it didn't happen in year 12 or 13, and what's kind of going on. But I guess...
Someone would just tell you then, I don't need a plan. They got 11 good years without planning.
That's
planning,
right.
And when we talk planning, we aren't talking about some fancy MBA academia type of document that has 71 pages and lots of language and graphs and stuff that you don't even understand, and that's not how you run your business. You need a couple of page focus outlining the salient points of what we're trying to do, and that package might end up being about 5 pages. And it will drive your business like the likes of which you have never seen.
I'm going to take your question you asked, Jack. I want to put a little twist on it in terms of, I think really the right question to ask is, how do I get better at running my business? I twisted it because I put the I part of that in there. Because, again, the answer, the quick answer, Jack, is it's you. You as the owner. Got to work on you first and getting you better.
All right.
And
I can see that one.
Well, I think one of the things I think you would agree upon, Jack, in terms of the best business owners that we have met, that's a common theme amongst them, Jack, is that they're always looking to get better. They personally are always looking to get better.
Yeah, they are. They've tried other coaches. They've tried reading. They've tried seminars. They've tried different groups. They're at a quest that they realize that they don't know what they don't know. And because of that, they're searching. They're searching for the answers. You're absolutely right, Adam. And that quest, that search, is really what drives the winners from the losers.
And I think it's part of it, it's innate to a certain extent, because this is not something that just simply applies to the business. This is something that, as we get to know the owners, you often see that throughout the course of their life, whether it be things that they were doing, in their younger years, whether it be in school or with sports or athletics or whatever it might be, but there's that common thread of, hey, we're always looking to kind of get better and do better, because especially as the owner, if you're going to get better, the company's going to get better, because the company will follow your lead. And if you're growing and doing a lot of good things versus one of our favorite phrases we use on this show a number of times, Jack, I know we use it off the air a lot too, is this whole idea of what you don't want to be is you don't want to be an old steel guy.
Oh, God, no. You don't want to be an old steel guy.
So the old steel guys, folks, for those of you who haven't heard that term before, forget how we place that. It doesn't matter whether you're young or old, male or female, or somewhere in between. It's the mentality that we're talking about. And the old steel guy mentality has things like, hey, I know it all now. I have it all figured out. I'm not learning anything new. Again, it's there. I'm stuck in my ways. It's often somebody's there, their arms are crossed over, and they're, hey, nothing else is coming in. It's, it's here. And they're stuck often in the past.
Yeah, we tried that before, and doesn't work. So some younger employee comes in with a fresh idea and a high level of enthusiasm, and he gets a bucket of water poured over his head because we tried that before and it doesn't work. Well, wait a minute. Let's try it again with a different focus, different maybe leader heading the project up. A lot of good reasons to do, not a bunch of reasons not to do.
Right. So again, so think about that as you listen here. If you're the owner, does that resonate with you? The idea of, hey, do I want to get better? Because let me tell you, folks, if you're answering no to that question, then it's time for you to get out of your business.
That's right. Hey, so, nobody knows my business like I do, Adam. How can some guy pay exorbitant amount of money to tell me what I should do to run my business? I'll bet you that attitude exists out there at least once. What do you think? Thousands of times.
Sure. Well, it may be a little less direct than that in terms of, well, hey, who else have you worked with that does whatever? Who runs a radio show? Pick whatever your industry is. And the stuff we're talking about, the 7 keys you alluded to earlier, Jack, those apply to every organization, folks. I don't care how big or small, whether you're for-profit, non-profit, they've been tried, proven, and tested. Not only the 16 years Jack and I have been together, but the decades before that, too, in terms of how we kind of pull these things together. They work. And probably one of the most important things with this is it helps to get some tremendous focus to you as the owner. And the way these 7 keys come out, you aren't going to work on all 7 keys at the same time.
No, you can't.
It's not possible.
Right.
The key is to figure out which of those 7 keys requires the most love and attention. And those are the ones you want to focus the most on now. And typically the way it works is we'll typically be working on 2 or 3, maybe 4 of the 7 keys at once, because there's interconnectivity and interplay there. But we got to be able to get focused on what's kind of going on. And as the owner, it's very easy to get distracted and to start working on things that really don't plug into those seven keys, you know? And while I'm thinking about it, Jack, I don't think we've told people what the seven keys are yet, have we?
No, we haven't. Not yet. We All can right. Keep them in suspense until the second segment here, which is coming up in a few minutes.
Well, they'll know it's seven for sure. One of the easiest places to find it, if you go to our website, MaximumVP.com, there's a link there that says MVP Playbook. And you'll see underneath there the seven keys. You click on that, and you'll have a nice visual, a nice little PDF file you can actually download and print out or save to your computer if you want to have it handy. And it might be helpful as you go through the show tonight to kind of look at that. But it's got the seven keys listed on there, which I'll kind of run through here and just very quickly, and we'll come back to them because I want to dig into each of them a little bit, Jack, in terms of some examples of, as we're working with clients over the years, or things maybe even we've done too personally, to show how this focus can help you get better, and in turn, with you getting better, your company getting better.
And your employees will get better. Everyone associated with you will get better, and that should be the name of the game. And it's very doable. It's doable. The money to invest in getting the secrets of these things done is a pittance to what you could do if you put your mind to learning these things. And they're available. That's the best thing I can say at this point.
So let me run through them, and then we'll come back. Like you said, we got the rest of the show to kind of dig into a little more. But the seven keys, and again, we'll go in the order. We start with the big picture first. The first key is the vision. That's number one. Vision's bigger picture, kind of 10 years out. I mean, where do you see the business 10 years from now? Number two is the profit plan.
Why 10 years? We'll get into this when we come back.
Yeah. Profit plan is a term that we use to talk about what many people may refer to as a budget.
God, which is what are you doing, Adam? You're ruining my evening.
I'm making you lose your appetite. Good thing you ate already, Jack. As long as it doesn't come back up, we'll be okay. So, yeah, the profit plan is, again, forecasting out for the year by month. Here's what we're going to do in terms of our sales, our expenses, and our expected profit. We're going to lay it out, and we're going to get that plan pulled together.
Well, actually, they're all in business here to make profit, even if you're a nonprofit. So shouldn't you have a plan to make a profit? I mean, that's kind of simple, logical language. From where I come from.
It's hard to argue with that, Jack. So that's number two is a profit plan. Number three is the marketing plan. And how are we getting all those sales? We're talking about our profit plan. How do those sales come to be? Well, we're looking at our customers. We'll get into that a little bit in terms of what the marketing plan looks like and what should it look like. That's number three. The fourth key of the seven keys is the organization plan. Who's doing what? How are things communicated? A lot of different things that go in as part of the organization plan. How are things done at your company? How should things be done? Number five is leadership. And while that may seem like the one as we were talking about, you know, again, Jack, in terms of how do I get better, leadership may be a good place to start. You know, what do you like? How are you as a leader? You know, what are you doing to grow and get better? We've got a lot of questions there we'll share and give some examples of. So that's number five is leadership. Number six is something very close, near, and dear to all of our hearts as owners of companies, folks, which is cash.
Cash.
So cash forecasting. And we're big proponents of a 90-day cash forecast, and we'll get into this a little bit too. But to be able to see positive cash for 90 days.
I had an accounting professor who had a lip challenge, and he used to refer to cash as cash.
Cash?
Cash.
So cash money. So that's number six, cash. Forecasting that out for 90 days, and you'd be amazed at how much better you sleep with 90 days you can see out. And then seventh key, which is the one that's often overlooked, is presenting. How do you present your company? How do you talk about your company? How do you do it? How does the rest of your team do it? So as we get into the show today, we're going to talk about these things, give some examples, get some questions for you to be thinking about in terms of where you are, and hopefully be able to identify which of those seven keys you need to help you get better in running your business. So stay tuned. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini, and we'd like you to be part of the program. 440-946-9468.
Stick around. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. All right. Welcome back to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini, and we are going to explore the seven keys to success for you small business owners.
That's right, and the question we're answering tonight, folks, is how do I get better at running my business. And so we kind of laid out in the first segment kind of some background here in terms of why that's important and why we're looking at you as the owner to start with. And we laid out the seven keys, and we want to kind of delve into the seven keys here a little bit, Jack. And so the first one we kind of laid out was a vision. So what the heck is so important about a vision? Why looking out 10 years? How the heck is that going to help me today, Jack? Why should I even bother spending time doing that?
We know the answer to that one very well. 10 years, you can accomplish almost anything in 10 years if you put your mind to it. So if you can put your mind to something that works, why in the world wouldn't you do it? And 10 years from now, you'd be terribly successful if that's what you want to do. You can do anything in 10 years. I like to use the example of Zappos. And I may be wrong in some of my
don't fact check this, folks. But
yeah, don't
listen to the essence of the story here.
That's right. No fact checking. All right. So a group of people got together with the concept of Zappos. Those of you who don't know about Zappos, it's a company that started out by selling shoes online. Selling shoes online. You think that's a crowded field in the world today? Probably pretty crowded. A lot of companies doing it, all again over the world. So a group of people, not hundreds, probably a few, handful of people, said, hey, let's enter the shoe industry. Let's do that. Again, I'm talking about something, we're talking about something that says you can accomplish anything in 10 years or less. So this group got together, they formed a company. They called it Zappos, and day one, they had sales of what, Adam? About
zero.
About zero, yeah. So they had nothing. They started with nothing. Maybe some capital, but basically nothing, an idea. And they took this idea, and they grew it. And within 7 years, they were doing over $1 billion.
That's a billion with a B.
And eventually being still within that 10-year window, they were purchased by Amazon. So here's a group of people who got together and formed an idea, and from that idea they executed a plan, and from that plan they created a company that did billions, billions. So you have a company out there, Mr. or Mrs. Owner, and basically you could do the same thing. Now, a lot of people don't want to reach that kind of stage on that level, but that's fine. Doesn't make any difference. Whatever your vision is, and that's what Adam is saying, a 10-year vision, not a fancy-dancy academic approach, a 6-7-page plan that addresses the major elements of your company, which is, by the way, maybe just a little coincidence. Those major elements are encompassed in the seven keys. And the first one is getting this 10-year plan down. One page.
Yeah, it's not
going
to...
Where do you want to be 10 years from now, and what's it look like?
And don't get caught up in the how. I know we like the hows. That's a big part of what we do with our show here, answer these how questions. But don't let the how can get in the way of the vision, because you aren't going to have the answers. You aren't, you know, when Zappos, as you give the example, Jack, when Zappos started, they didn't know how they were going to go from zero to a billion, but that's kind of what they're looking to do. So... first of all, do you have that in mind? Do you know what that 10-year vision, do you know what your company looks like in 10 years? You can see where it is today. We often will do our planning based on today, but things are changing. You know, technology, I don't care what business you're in, technology is going to impact your business in the next 10 years, so things are going to change. So what do you see? What do you see the business, what does it look like? Is it the same size? Are we different locations, more people, more sales, more profits? Are we going smaller? Are we getting out of the business? And what do you see?
You want to get bigger? No, Adam, I'm out of the heck with it. I don't know what the heck the future holds, so I'm not going to do any of that stuff.
Oh, okay, well... I guess that's your choice. I mean, it is your company, Jack, so you can
do whatever
you want.
That's
but
right. Why waste my time?
It's not
going to
help you get
stuff.
Better, though, Jack. That's what we're trying to talk about here today is in terms
that's
of getting
right.
better. So if you don't want to get better, that's cool. You can click us off. You can change the channel. You can turn off the podcast or listen to the podcast. That's okay. But if you want to get better, you got to know where you're trying to go. At least have an idea what you're trying to do, because what you want to do is start to share it with people, okay? And you do that, you get some examples. Jack gave the example of Zappos. We had a client of ours. We started with them. They had about 6 employees, and what they wanted to do is they wanted to grow. They were about 6 employees that were doing maybe $500,000, $750,000 in revenue. They wanted to get to the point where they're having about 25 people that were doing about $3 million in revenue. And that was their 10-year vision. And we got there about 5 years in, and they had to reset. All of a sudden, they went from that. They started to go, okay, well.
They got to their first vision within 5 years.
Within 5 years. And it's often the case, what they had in mind 5 years prior to that, what it was like was a little different than they thought, right? And then what they realized was, hey, we can't kind of stop here. We got to either keep going or we got to go back. Because the vision we laid out and where we're at, not quite a place to settle. We got to keep going. We got to go back. So they went up resetting, and at that point they set their 2020 vision, and they're trying to grow and get to 10 million and be over 50 people. Well, they're about to hit that again. They got to reset
amazing?
Again.
What a great.
It starts to drive. It, they didn't keep it a secret. They involve their team in pulling this together. They communicate to their team. A big part, believe it or not, what this vision should do, it should direct your day-to-day activities. Because the stuff you're doing today should plug in somehow, some way to that vision. If it doesn't, what are you doing it for?
What's your plan? Yeah, what is your plan if you don't have something like that? Well, that's okay. I'm stealing your thunder.
That's okay. No. So the key number one is the vision. So do you know? If you don't, that might be the one you got to focus on. Might be. I don't know. But we're going to go through these a little bit. So the vision's one, and again, it can work wonders. We had another client. They had a vision where they wanted to get to the point where the business was starting from scratch. They wanted to get it to where it was doing $1 million in sales. That was their goal. And they said, hey, if we could do that in 10 years, that'd be fantastic. They did it in 7. They sold the company because they reached their goal. They did it faster than they planned. But hey, that's okay. But they realized when they got there, okay, this is what we're shooting for. We're here. Okay. Now, they could have kept on going like the other client we mentioned. Hey, we got to keep on going. Or they said, hey, you know what? That's enough. We'll take our money off the table and we'll kind of move on and do something else.
That's your choice. And you have to have the ability to do that. You have to have the ability to plan. Not, again, a big academic approach. It's something simple and something that you made, something that you want to be, where you want to take your company. That's so vital. It just is. You know, a person without a plan, I don't know, kind of a bump on the log. There are a lot of bumps on the log.
It's hard to get excited. Yeah, let me give a quick shout out to our boy Julius. Julius, you're listening. Hey, how you doing, buddy? Julius is a very passionate man and a very visionary man. And we've known Julius for not quite 10 years now, but he hooked us early on with his vision for what he was trying to create. And we've been working together for on and off for a little while over that last decade with him to kind of help him make that thing a reality. And he hasn't quite gotten to his vision yet, but he hasn't given up on the vision at all. He's continued to make progress. And even though he's been working full-time doing different things, he continues to make progress in what he's trying to be able to do because that's driving him. That's pulling him along. It's impossible to sit down with him and not get excited about what he's trying to do. And that's something you want to be able to do as an owner.
Totally.
Can you get people excited about it? Can you get it? Because if you can't get excited about it, heck, nobody else is going to get excited about it. But if you get excited about it, that's contagious. Much like the old steel guy is contagious in a negative way.
That's right.
That positive, exciting vision, that's a tremendously contagious in a very, very positive way. So, again, if you don't have an idea and you've been punting that thing down the road, you've had all kinds of excuses over the years of why it doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. Bunch of crap. Stop it. Let's get this vision laid out. Get some again. It's a one page. Jack said, doesn't need all have all the answers. Kind of let's get it. Figure out how big you want to be in terms of sales and people, locations. What's that look like? Just get a very foggy view of what you think that looks like, and get excited about it. Okay, so vision's at first. That's the first key. It might be one that you have to work on. It might not be. I don't know yet. Let's get through the other ones here. So number two is we talk about Jack as the profit plan.
Profit plan. You're in the business to make profits. Whether you're a for-profit or a non-profit company, you have to make profits to survive. And basically, the profit plan allows you to do that. And it's not a difficult document to make out. It just isn't. And it guides your company year to year. It guides it. And it plugs in very nicely to the vision. So what the profit plan is, it's the first year of your 10-year plan. And folks, it works. It works if you stay with it. Like so many things, people quit along the way at the wrong time, or they don't start for various reasons. It's always astonishing, but we understand it. God, we've seen hundreds of people like this who don't embrace the idea of winning like this for themselves. So you got to do that. And there are a lot of answers out there. So the profit plan is number two.
And that question, again, what's your plan to make money this year? Do you have it? Can you show it to me? And, you know, what it should look like, it should look like your financial statements. Look like your profit loss statement, your P&L. So we touched on that, I think, last week, actually, in terms of looking at your financials. But if you look at your P&L, you have your revenue and your expense categories all there, okay? It should look like that, have those same categories in that first column. And then the question is, you start to forecast out for this year. What's that look like? As you might imagine, there's certain things that are much easier to forecast than others. For instance, your rent expense is probably pretty easy to figure out, or your utility expenses or your insurance costs, many of your employee costs. Again, it might be easy to kind of figure out as you're forecasting these things out. You want to be able to show it on paper to see what's kind of going on. And so here's what we're going to do. Just so, you know, we're not going to assume just because we made money this year or last year or the year before that we're going to make money this year. Because, again, as we alluded to earlier, we had that worked fine for a client for a number of years until 1 year it didn't work. Where they say, let's grow. I want to grow for the sake of growing, but they weren't sure how they were going to go do it.
But so, you can do it differently. If you use the seven keys, you can definitely do it. So it starts with, if you did sales of $750,000 last year or $1.5 million, whatever it might be, next year, 2020, how many sales do you want?
That's right. All right. We'll touch on this a little more. We'll get back. We're up against our second break here, Jack. So we've got more questions about about the question of how do I get better at running my business? Stay tuned. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
I'm Jack Mancini, 440-946-9468.
Got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com. We're back at it live here on Dirty Secrets of Small Business. Welcome back. I'm Adam Sonhalter.
And I'm Jack Mancini.
And we're talking tonight about how do I get better at running my business.
How do I do that?
We've been talking about some of the seven keys. We went into the first two keys, a little more depth in the last segment about vision and profit plan. And I want to just finish up the profit plan with a quick comment, Jack, because one of the things that often gets in the way of folks trying to pull together a profit plan is how intimidated they can often be by their own numbers and their own financials. And quite often what we find is that many of the financials are a mess when we go in there. And they're a mess because they were set up by maybe an accountant trying to make sure they could fill out a tax form. But they weren't set up usually to help the owner get some information out of the business to manage the company. And so often they're looking at this thing going, I got a bunch of gobbledygook here. How am I going to take that, what's currently gobbledygook, and then forecast out more gobbledygook to see what are we going to do to make money, right? And we had a client. It took him, I want to say, 2 or 3 years, maybe even longer, to get his books straight. All right, it was just in terms of trying to find good help to get things down, to get it the way that he wanted to be able to see what was going on, so he could get the information out of his numbers to help him make decisions. But in spite of that, he still was able to forecast out and kind of pull together a profit plan, you know, to get at least the basis down while he was doing that. So don't delay. If your numbers are a mess, start from a fresh piece of paper and just start putting down, here's what we're going to do. And start to get the thinking down, because it's getting your best thinking about what's going to happen this next 12 months for your business. And it can be very, very empowering. And to your point, Jack, this is that first year on the vision, right? So that 10-year vision is kind of fuzzy. This first year should be a lot less fuzzy. And certainly that first quarter or two, the first 3 to 6 months will be a lot less fuzzy. It gets, you know, further out you go, the more fuzzy it gets.
Yeah, but fuzzy's okay. I mean, that's what it is. We can't predict the future, but you can impact the future by systematically taking on a system that allows you to develop a plan that makes sense and it's reality. I was saying before, if you had a company that did sales of $750,000 or $1 million last year, what do you want 2020 at the end of the year to look like? $1,000,001? $850,000? You know, you can do it. You can do it with this kind of plan. Depends on where you want to go. Remember Zappos. Billions from zero in 7 years.
Yeah, you can also make a plan to go back, Jack. Hey, I want to go back to $500,000 this year. We have to make some adjustments.
That's right.
We got to catch our breath and make some investments here. We got to slow down a little bit. That's okay too. People say stupid stuff like, "Hey, you got to grow. You know, if you're not growing, you're dying." Okay, I agree with that in terms of you. You, in terms of your growing. You as the owner is growing, getting better.
That's right, not the company.
Your company might have to take steps backwards in order to take steps forward. So the plan enables you to kind of do that, to put it down on paper, get your best thinking down on paper, to say, here's what we think we can do to make money this year. If we can't do it on paper, how are we going to do it in the real world, folks? Okay, so let's get that profit plan, let's get that thing kind of laid out. And if you don't have anything for this year, here we are in July, you can probably forecast for the next 6 months. What's the rest of 2019 look like?
That's right.
Don't wait till next year to do it. Let's get this thing kind of now. Let's look at the next 6 months. Get it started to see. Get it down there and start to add some visibility for it. It can be very, very empowering. You say Fuzzy's good, or did you say Fozzie's good?
Fozzie. Oh, Fozzie, too. But
I'm thinking of Fozzie Bear when you said that. It's a picture, nice, warm, cuddly guy. Did that give you the warm Fozzie? Fozzie Bear? Isn't that from the Muppets? Right?
I remember, Fozzie Whitaker, who was, I believe, a football player.
He's a running
player,
back, right? Yeah. He played for the Browns for a bit. No, Fozzie, I'll look it up in the brain. Fozzie Bear, I think he's a Muppet.
Go on.
Come on. You had kids back in the day, Jack. You had to watch these programs.
Fozzie,
not
Fozzie. What about the butterflies, Fozzie, right? People get butterflies in their stomach and stuff like that?
Butterflies are good.
Yeah, they are.
not fuzzy butterflies. All right.
Oh, boy.
Let me come back. Let me get us back on target. Okay, so we've gone through the first two. Number three, as we mentioned, number three key here is a marketing plan. Marketing plan. So, Jack, you were talking about the top line of sales, right? How much do you want in sales? So, yeah, we can just say, hey, I want to grow by an X percent. That's great.
That starts.
Let's use that $1 million. I want to grow by 10% to $1.1 million. Okay, great. How much of that $1.1 million can you see right now?
See? What do you mean? I got to put glasses on? How does that work?
That might help.
SCA, I got to take a swim.
SCA, not that kind of C. SEE, what are you looking at? Yeah, so
SEE. Oh.
So let me give you an example, Jack. All right, if you're in a retail business and it's people walking in the door every day, chances are you might feel you have very little visibility, because I don't know if Jack's walking in today or Scotty's walking in today or Ron's walking. I don't know who's walking in today, but okay. So we might not know exactly who's walking in, but the question is, do you know that there are a certain number of people kind of walking in? Versus, let's say you're a law firm. You have clients you've got. You've had clients for years. Maybe you can forecast out of that $1.1 million. Maybe I can see a half million of that, Jack. Maybe I can see $750,000 of that. Hey, we got retainers of this and that. And okay, so I can see quite a bit of that. It's not just I'm going from zero. I've got a good chunk. Maybe I got half or more, but I can see right now.
That's right.
Fantastic. Yeah, God bless you. That's a good place to start. But you're still going to have a gap. Even if you can see 750 of you, I still got a gap of 350,000 to make up to get to my $1.1 million I'm looking for. Okay, but I got 750. Okay, I got that banked over here. What am I going to do to get that remaining 350?
Well, I'm going to guess.
You're going to guess.
You're
going to
develop a marketing plan.
That's what we're talking about, Jack. There you go.
That's right. Where's that 350 coming from?
So, and what does it look like? Is that one new customer for you to get that? Is it 10 new customers or 100 new customers? I don't know what that means in your business, but again, we start to kind of break it down into where it's those bite-sized chunks of what you're going to be able to accomplish. And so you start to kind of get those things down. So what things are we going to do from the marketing standpoint? So we identify who those good customers are that we want to get more of. How do we go find more of those folks? What do we want to tell them? How do we attract them to us?
Well, what's nice, we're talking about companies that have a little history. So you owners don't know how lucky you are versus a startup. You started a company one day, and if you can recall those difficult times of trying to forecast sales, because you didn't have any base. But with a base, you're going to get business one way or another, as Adam said. You know that, and you could guess pretty reliably on that. So you know you got half your sales or better. And it's just, again, a matter of a systematic approach to identifying other customers in whatever geographic area you want to fill up the shortfall. So if you want to go from $1 million to $1.1 million, you can do that. And you'd be surprised how easy that is.
And there's often things that are out there. You know, we had a client a few years ago that was more in the IT space, and they found a company. The company's name for a woman named Robin Robbins. And
they a baseball player?
Robin Robbins? No.
Yeah. Oh, Robin Roberts.
Robin Roberts was she's actually a TV personality.
Oh.
She's on SportsCenter a little while ago. I think she's on ABC now. Actually,
what about Monica
cancer.
Robbins?
Monica WBC, Robbins is local. Right? Yeah, we know Monica. Yeah, she's a local news person here. Yeah, Robin Yount, who was a player for the
Milwaukee Brewers.
There we go. All right. But no, so Robin Robbins has a marketing plan that's geared to help IT folks, especially managed service folks. And it was funny that our client went to a seminar, and it was like one of those things come out of the seminar like, hey, that almost sounds too good to be true. you know, they had people come up for testimonials and singing the praises. Hey, you know, I was like you, you know, years ago and thought this wasn't going to work, but here I am, and I've doubled my company, tripled my, whatever it might be. I've grown my company tremendously.
Great success, right.
And they gave them the playbook. Here's what you got to do. And they didn't agree with a lot of the stuff in terms of, hey, here's how you have to write letters to people. Here's how the website should look. Here's what you got to do. It's like, oh, this is not me. But and it was funny. That early on, they fought a lot of it, right? And they were having some struggles. And finally, they kept calling. They're like, oh, hey, are you doing this? No, I'm not doing that. Well, do it. Just do as we say it first, and let's see, right? Let's see what happens.
That's right. That's, you know, again, people getting in their own way, not finding reasons to do, finding reasons not to do.
That's right. So, but it was out there, right? And so here it is, you know, basically a marketing plan in a box for this type of company. It says, here's, you know, here's some basic stuff you can do to help kind of grow.
Multi-steps, multi-programs within a bigger program. But it worked. It worked phenomenally.
Well, here's a dirty secret, folks. All right, one of the toughest things to do is to get a marketing plan pulled together for a small company. Because most small companies grow through word of mouth and referral. That's been the biggest way that most of them have grown. And to find help, that's usually you need some help on the outside. And unfortunately, most of the people that have gotten help from the outside, it maybe looks like something like this. Maybe I hired somebody that made a pretty looking logo for me, Jack, or a brochure for me, or they made a website for me, or they set up a Twitter account for me. They do a few things here and there, but it's not necessarily an overall plan in terms of here's what we're going to go do to go out and market ourselves and be able to try to grow.
Well, they lose sight of the whole objective of putting a marketing plan together, and that's to increase your sales. So that word is rarely used in the small business world when developing a marketing plan. Somewhat astonishing.
Well, one of the challenges too is people often rush into it, and there's no magic wand, there's no magic pill. Okay, it's going to take some time. But because if you've been in business for a little while, you probably have some customers that are good customers for you. They say, maybe I got your top five customers. Hey, if I get more customers that look like this, that'd be fantastic. So a big part of the marketing is starting there, starting to figure out, what does a good customer look like for you? And then you got to figure out why they're customers. Why do they stay customers? Before you jump out to that, they go out to start to try to talk to them, whether it be through word of mouth referral, networking stuff, whether it be through your website, whether it be through emails or newsletters, whatever it might be. How are you going to reach out? Make sure you know who you're looking for, that you're trying to target the right people that make sense for your company, because you've had a chance to service a lot of people over the years and realize that not everybody's the right fit for you. Not every customer is created equally for you. So you're going to try to be able to find more of those good customers that fit for what you're trying to do. So a marketing plan is a great thing to do, but you're probably going to need to get some help from outside. You can try to hire somebody internally. That's often difficult, too, because people can't do all this stuff often.
Right.
You know? But
right.
If you're able to identify, hey, here's the one thing we need to do really well, okay, then you find somebody like that. But you probably need some help with the marketing plan. And it's going to be frustrating. This is probably one of the most frustrating things people deal with. Especially out of the seven keys, probably this one as well as the next one being the organization plan, Jack. Those two can often be the most frustrating for people because it takes so much time, and it's hard finding some of those good people on both the marketing front as well as the organization piece.
Yeah, you don't have easy answers to it. You don't have the process down pat. Many times that's the first time you've ever encountered it. So, yes, it can be very difficult.
All right, so let me tease the fourth one because we got about a minute or so here before we get to our next break. But the organization plan is the next one up. Now, the organization plan includes a lot of stuff. And we'll often start with what's referred to as an organization chart. We call it a functional organization chart because it's trying to figure out who's doing what, or what do those functions or different jobs look like, and how are they structured. But it includes a lot of things besides that, including different ways things are communicated in terms of what's going on in the business, in terms of what kind of systems you got in place, in terms of how you do what you do, in terms of defining how your business does what it does in order to make it unique from other companies that are out there. So the organization plan is a big, big deal. And with a small company, one new person, one new good person into your organization can make a tremendously positive impact.
Oh, my God, yes, absolutely.
And so if you have an organization plan in place in terms of, give some thought as we head to break here in terms of who would your next hire be and why? What does that person look like? Give some thought to that while we're trying to break here as we'll come back and talk more about how do I get better at running my business. I'm Adam Sunhalter.
A little factoid, each one of our shows becomes a podcast. We can touch on that before we leave tonight here. But I'm Jack Mancini.
All right, stay tuned. We got more Dirty Secrets of Small Business coming your way here on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTradio.com.
Come away if you're going. Leave the sinking ship.
And I'm Jack Mancini. We're rounding the turn here, bud.
There we go. All right, so let me ask a question, Jack. You know, as the owner, I'm asking the owner, I'm asking the audience, too. Hey, do you ever feel like you're the only one doing everything in the company, or maybe at least everything that nobody else wants to do?
Well, I've heard that before.
Right? That's a common challenge we see and hear about, and it drives us bonkers, because you have all these people that you're employing and that are working with you that are underutilized that can help you in terms of your organization. So give me some thought. We teased at the break kind of going out about asking if you had to hire somebody, who would that next person be? What would they be doing? What do they look like? And that's often what you got to be thinking about with that organization plan. How does the organization look right now? And it looks different probably from when you started. It looks different than it did a couple of years ago. It looks different than it did last year probably. What's it going to look like next year and the year after? What are you trying to do with the organization? What are you missing with the organization? And how do people get to know what's going on in the organization? What are you sharing with them? What's happening from that standpoint? There's a lot of things that can go on with an organization standpoint that can be very, very challenging, but can be very, very empowering and fun. A quick story, I had a client of ours that it took him about a year and a half, and he finally terminated his first employee. Now, he had about seven employees or eight employees. And almost from day one, we could tell this one employee was troublesome, just in terms of the company kind of outgrew this person. And it took about a year and a half, but the owner finally made the choice. And over the next 5 years, he replaced and added. Everybody was gone except for one person from the original seven people. Only one person survived because that person was good to build upon. And they tripled the business as part of that in the next 5 years.
That's a powerful story. And it's obviously very true. You have to address your people. You have to look at them and understand who does what. You have to do that.
And be clear, and things will change, and roles will change. And usually what happens, much like you feel all the time, you're doing a bunch of stuff because you're a good person. Well, chances are you have a good person or another good person or two in your company, and they're doing a bunch of stuff too because they're good people. They pick stuff up and just start doing stuff. You may not even be aware of it. And things may have been a part-time or once-in-a-while thing, and now all of a sudden it's become a couple hours a day or a couple hours a week where all of a sudden they start to get overwhelmed. And so get the organization down in terms of what's it look like to kind of grow it, to get things moving, to make sure you get a certain rhythm in the business, you know, in terms of having regular scheduled meetings that's going on to update people, to make sure that people know about the most important stuff going on. And meetings aren't you going and lecturing people. It's everybody in that room has something to contribute. They're talking about stuff. They're reporting on things.
Just think of it. I mean, wouldn't it be a lot easier to address your problems with 20 brains working at the solution rather than just one or two?
Mm-hmm.
Bring your people into the problem-solving process.
It's always the more the merrier. You know, I mean, that idea has been so big and so pivotal in every business because at the same time, like you guys said at the beginning of the show, growth, addition, something that you're learning every single moment of every single day that you're getting better, not just yourself, but your company. And what you said, if the leader gets better, the followers and the workers, you know, the people that you have employed get better as well. They have more of a chance to flourish and have the rhythm that you speak of that you want to have, that you want things to improve. And marketing is a huge point of this show tonight. Marketing, if you have, you know, subscriptions, like you said, like adventure. You know, you can adventure into new waters and adding. What's the first word of adventure? To add. And to subtract is also a good thing at times. It's not always about addition. It's subtraction is time. You think about subtraction, subscriptions. Subscription is marketing. Same
sure.
ideas.
We got lots of good stories, too. We have time to share tonight about addition by subtraction. You take some people out who are causing all kinds of problems in your organization, and the organization almost immediately starts to take off because they're being held down and held back by those folks. But the organization piece is often very tough for people. Okay, it can be very frustrating. Let's head over to number five. But we got a few minutes in the show here, Jack. Number five is leadership. And starting with you in terms of your style, we use a behavior assessment we talked about a number of times here called DISC, extended DISC, D-I-S-C, which is a behavior assessment. So it starts with understanding yourself first and what your style, natural style is. Because what happens is, as an owner, you're often having to play multiple roles, right? That favorite phrase of wearing multiple hats in terms of running a company. And different hats, different roles call for different styles. Some call for being kind of tough and direct. Some call for being more compassionate and sitting down. Some call for being more analytic. Some call for being, center of attention, depending what's kind of going on. And all of a sudden, you as the owner are expected all of a sudden to be able to do all this stuff. You didn't know you signed up for all this stuff to be that way.
Very true. I don't think many of them think that way, but that's Very true.
So what stuff are you doing as a leader to help you grow and get better? And that's the big part what starts to set the culture for the company, because it's going to follow your lead. And then once you get that piece down, what are you doing for your key people to help make sure they're getting better? They're developing as leaders and managers as part of the business to be able to lead for what's going on. How are they helping take what you're trying to do? Come back to that vision. Help make that vision a reality. You can't do it all on your own. It's helping to kind of work through these people to make sure things are going to be happening. But it's got to come through your leadership, the stuff that you're able to be able to do and be able to kind of push forward. So leadership's a big, big deal. And we talk about cash, Jack. Cash forecasting. 90 days cash forecasting.
Day by day. Just lay it out there. And so keep it up.
This can help if you're in a hole. You know, we've had shared, a story a couple times on the air about a client of ours who had inherited a company that had $250,000 in debt. And how are you getting out of that hole? Well, without a cash forecast, to know that you're making some positive cash and you can make some payments and pay people off and get those debts brought up to speed. How do you do that other than, you know, hoping, wishing, and praying, crossing fingers? You know, if you have some folks that are a little long in the tooth of customers of yours that owed you money for a while, how do you make sure you go back there and collect that money before they go belly up, right? You know, people have seen all kinds of examples in the public sphere where companies maybe go belly up and people are out millions of dollars. Well, if you're out, thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars as a small company, that may put you out of business. You're certainly going to feel it in your pocketbook because that's money that's not going into your pocket as the owner.
So collecting cash, you know it, but again, systematically, you're going to be way better off if you collect your cash and manage your cash that way.
And I cannot tell you, folks, that how well so many of our clients sleep at night having a 90-day forecast in place where they know they've got 90 days of positive cash. And anything that happens, they've got 90 days to react to it. They got time. They have time to react. Do you have time to react in your business, or is it always right now? You're feeling that pressure. Cash often can create that kind of pressure because cash is tough. Cash can be very tough. And then the seventh key, Jack, that's cash forecast number six. Seventh key is presenting.
Presenting.
That sounds like a fancy pants word, Jack.
It is a fancy pants word.
So if you're going to present your company, what does that mean? What does that look like? If you're presenting to your employees, to a customer, to a vendor, to the bank, how about to a potential investor or potential buyer of your company? What's that look and sound like? And if you're presenting it for the first time to a potential buyer of your business, then guess what? It's probably not going to go so well because you're doing it for the first time. Versus you do it all the time, it becomes much comfortable, much easier to answering questions and presenting things well and knowing how to talk about the business, knowing what gets the audience excited about things that are kind of going on, knowing what to present as well as how to present them. But presenting is a very, very big key. It's starting with you, obviously, as the owner, but again, come back to your key team. How they present and talk about the company. They're often in front of, and many of your team are often the face of your company. The customers see them. They don't see you often. They see them. So what are they saying? How are they presenting themselves? How are they presenting the company? What's going on from that standpoint? Everything from, how they show up, how they dress, how they look, how do they treat people, how do they respond? Again, there's a lot of things that are part of that in terms of presenting the company to the outside world. How do you do that and do it well? And from our standpoint, we talk about the other six keys we just went through, folks. If you're talking about those six things, you're talking about your vision. Here's where I'm going. Big picture. Get me excited about it. Here's my first step, my profit plan. Here's what we're going to do this year. We're going to do $1.1 million in sales. We're going to make $200,000 in profit. Here's how we're going to go do it. And here's the kind of customers we're going to have. Here's my marketing plan to say, here's what we're going to go do. Here's the kind of customers that we have right now. Here's more that we're going after. Here's the things we're doing to get those additional customers. And by the way, did I tell you about my team? Here's my team. Here's my top five people in the company. Here's what they're doing. Here's how they're helping me. When I'm not around, here's what they're able to do. I'm able to go away and do things, not have to be here day to day overseeing all this stuff because they're here helping me run this stuff. And here's how they're starting to kind of grow. Here's what we're doing. Here's what we do to keep everybody informed. From a leadership standpoint, here's what we're doing to kind of develop these guys. Here's what we're doing in order to make sure we're filling different gaps. Here's a big gap we've got in the organization right now that we're trying to fill up. Hey, our cash looks great. We got money in the bank, and we're good for the foreseeable future. You're talking about all those things. All of a sudden, people listening to you are getting comfortable. Hey, this owner knows his stuff, knows their stuff. Is that you? Do you know your stuff?
See how excited Adam gets when he talks about this stuff? He gets excited because he knows it works for anybody who wants to pay attention.
Yes, it does. So that's good stuff, isn't it? And this is, again, it's a lot we try to put into this hour. We wanted to kind of touch on it because, it's a question for you. We went through all seven keys tonight. Which one, which two do you need to focus most on? Spend the next quarter doing that. Get those things pulled down. Spend an hour a week working on those things. Because you'll be excited about the fact that you've done it. Because those hours a week also add up pretty quickly. And start bringing your team together. You start to gain momentum. You know that you're focusing on the right things that are going to help you get better. And if you get better, folks, your people get better, your company gets better, you're going to have success. If you master these seven keys that we talked about tonight, as Jack talked about in the opening, you have growing, sustainable profits. I think we can all say that's a pretty good thing. Isn't it, Jack, to have
Boy,
that?
Isn't it great? Isn't it great to have that and a way to do it and a way to monitor yourself along the way? Absolutely it is.
All right. Well, that's our show for now. I wanted to give a quick shout-out just to make sure for next week. We've got our latest Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business owner coming in to share her story. Her name's Dana Friend from Pinnacle Gymnastics down in Medina. And they offer gymnastic classes and tumbling classes for a variety of folks. She's going to share with us her story. That was a side hustle for her for about two decades, folks, and how she made that jump. And she'll share with us some of the stories about the Goldman Sachs program as well. So, hey, we appreciate you being part of the show tonight and listening. You can hear us every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. If you have any questions in between, you can email us at radio@maximumvp.com or you can give us a call, 877-849-0670. As Jack said, the show becomes a podcast. You can get things on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, go get them there. Subscribe to it. It comes right to your smart device. It's fantastic. Leave an archive there if you want. Or if you miss some shows, you can go to DirtySecretsOfSmallBusiness.com. They're all right there. Hey, learn more Dirty Secrets of Small Business next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Thanks for listening on Integrity Radio, WINT 1330 AM, 101.5 FM, and online, WINTRadio.com.